everyone, and welcome to the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors regular meeting on October 21st, 2015. Would you please stand and say the pledge and a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And we have a special welcome this afternoon. We have the Fluvanna County Leadership Development, the program here. This is their 13th program. This is for the 2015-2016. They got started in September, right? Yeah, started in September, and they will run to March. And I would like for the class to stand. And we have Dr. Fred Lang, who's representing the steering committee, and that's the committee, where are you, that, you know, revise the program and add to the program. Thank you all so much. We have gotten so many volunteers from the leadership committee. I was on the first meeting, and here I am. Okay. So right now, I would like to have a motion to leave it to go into closed session.
Madam Chair, I move the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to provisions of Section 2.2-371181, Section 2.2-371181.3, Section 2.2-371181.6, Section 2.2-371181.7 of the Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended, for the purpose of discussing personnel, real estate, investment of funds, and legal matters.
All right. We have a motion by Ms. Regan. We have a second.
Second.
All right. It's been a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right. We will be out.
Thank you. Oh, I'm going to leave here and I'm going to. Yes.
Okay, we need to come back and open the session, Mr. Weaver.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-A of the Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting. A second and a recorded vote needed.
Okay, I have a second.
Second.
All right, Mr. Sheridan. Mr. Weaver.
Aye.
Mr.
Hubbard.
Aye. Mr. O'Brien, Chair. Aye. Okay, now we'll continue with our agenda. Adoption of the agenda, Mr. Nichols.
Madam Chair, I'm recommending after your discussions over the last few days that you defer SUPs 1506 and 1508 to a special meeting on December 2nd at 7 p.m. You have a meeting at 4 p.m., your regularly scheduled meeting at 4 p.m. that day, and it would be easier then just to schedule the 7 o'clock subsequent meeting where you bridge from one to the other and then hold your public hearings at that time on December 2nd.
Okay. Can we have a motion, please?
Madam Chair, I move that we defer Special Use Permit 1506, Special Use Permit 15-08 to December the 2nd at 7 p.m.
Second.
All right. It's been moved by Mr. Weaver and seconded by Mr. Ollenbrook. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. County Minister.
Is that an abstain or a vote?
I'm sorry.
Aye. What's the vote?
I meant to say aye.
Okay, good.
Everybody.
So five. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That was 5-0. Okay. All right, now we have our county administrator's report.
You need to approve the agenda. With that change.
So amended.
Okay. Sorry.
You normally do that by motion.
Mr. Weaver, you don't approve the agenda.
I have a motion to approve the agenda with the exception of the special use permits. Second.
Okay, so motion by Mr. Weaver and second by Ms. Oliver, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. It's 5-0. Now we'll go to number 3, county administrator's report. Mr. Nichols.
Yes, ma'am. Just a few things. Mr. Sheridan's got a birthday next week.
I mean, he's got a belly button. He's got a woman right behind him. That's what he's saying.
He's catching up to me. He's only a decade behind me, so that's good. Happy birthday. Just to announce some canine concierge and equine has been open for a year now in our county. Congratulations to them over the last year of business since they opened. We appreciate their business in Fluvanna County. Remember, new staff members on board are coming on board. Johnny Vaughn's our new facilities maintenance specialist, and many people around the county know Mr. Vaughn, and he's done work here for the county before, but he's on board as a staff member. He started Monday. Mr. Maxwell is a new IT support specialist, Chris Maxwell. He's a temp. We were still advertising for that full-time position, but we needed some temporary help in the meantime, and so Mr. Maxwell's on board to provide the support, and he may turn out to be a great candidate for that position, too. Ms. Star Pua-Uli, is coming into our finance department as a financial services technician, and she starts work on November 2nd. Great background in finance and accounting and accounts payable. It'll be a really good addition for us. And then also in the planning department, he hasn't come in to finish his paperwork up yet, so he actually starts, I think that's wrong. Yeah, next Monday, October 26th, Mr. Newman, James Newman, is coming in to be our planner, replacing Jay Lindsay in the planning department. So four really great additions to our county staff to fill vacancies, and we're pleased to have all of them on board, either on board already or starting soon. And then we made some staff changes in public works, too. Mr. Bryant has moved from the grounds division to the new facilities maintenance division. I told you before that the same number of people are going to be changed to three divisions. There'll be a grounds division, the housekeeping and internal division, and then a maintenance division. And the new maintenance specialist, Mr. Vaughn, you approved that PD some months back, he's on board, and Mr. Bryant will be in the same division. There'll be colleagues working together on maintenance issues for the county. And then Steve Hester has been appointed as interim supervisor for our grounds crew, then we'll consider that during budget season. But good news for all of them, and really advances our capabilities. With Mr. Bryant and Mr. Vaughn in maintenance, we may be able to take some contract things off the table and do the maintenance in-house ourselves. And then I've given you a copy of the comparative report on taxes. A year or so ago, Mr. Dahl and I had worked on a project to put together a report. I'll show it up here on the screen. Nobody can read that, obviously, but there's a bigger one here in the corner. It's a comparative report that compares our county to the 9 surrounding counties and to 14 other counties of similar size throughout the Commonwealth. The size of the other ones are 20 to 35,000. We're at 26,000 in our county. But the blue columns here compare us to all the surrounding counties. It looks at the tax rates that every county has and all the revenues that are accrued in those counties and does some comparisons across there, shows highs and lows and does averages, and it even compares to Albemarle, although they are much bigger than all the other counties that are listed here. So the blues are the local comparisons surrounding us, and the browns up here are the ones someplace else in the Commonwealth that happen to be similar size to Fluvanna County. We'll be using this as it ramps up to budget season and through budget season. It's already posted on the county website, and people can link to it on the finance page under reports, and still should be a good tool. The thing that was added this year is I added a couple more counties in the brown area that are in our population range, 20 to 35,000, and I also added some lines in there based on a recommendation from one of my county administrator colleagues about per capita lines. So these white lines on here in each tax group show what the per capita revenue is for those various taxes, so you can compare on a population basis too. It makes it some better comparisons. But it should be a good data report to use for your deliberations, reviewing it for the citizens to look at and to use during budget season. And then I was going to recommend, and maybe you don't need to, but you've got a regular meeting on November 4th. If you need a work session to work on infrastructure issues, I would suggest that that may be the good time to do it, with Mr. Almbrook being out later that month. If you do a 7 o'clock work session that night, we can cover any infrastructure issues that you need. Yeah. If we don't need it, then you just don't go on the work session after your 4 o'clock meeting. So I'd like to have it on the calendar as a placeholder at least, and then if in the meantime we've decided things, you've all gotten the information you needed, then we can just not go on to the work session, because that doesn't require the same kind. It'll be on the agenda and be advertised, but it doesn't require us to finish the work session if you don't choose to. So if that'd be okay, I'll put that on your agenda for the November 4th meeting. And then your next regular meeting after that is your regular 7 p.m. meeting on November 18th. Any questions I can answer for the board?
Okay, if there aren't any questions, then we have the Board of Supervisors updates to tell what you've been doing this October the 7th in the meetings.
Well, I went to the groundbreaking ceremony for the Snyder National Area Educational Pavilion, which was the dedication, and it's from the Wabana Conservation Society, and it's located in Cunningham District, and it's on Long Acre Road, but they are in the process of dedicating a pavilion, and everybody had shovels in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Okay. Anyone else?
Jeb Board last Thursday, and we're getting to preliminary budget time again. It seems like we just settled that and we're back to it. This November meeting, I believe, is the 6th. We'll have hopefully a preliminary rough budget from the new administration of the jail. And then we agreed to set up a, much like last year, a finance committee, which will, as it stands right now, will encompass two representatives from counties. Last year it was Mr. Wade, myself, and two county administrators, and one or two, they wanted finance heads from a county, so every county has at least one person present during that. And we're going to start that a little more early than we did last year, so there's every county, there's no surprises. There'll be a pretty good picture of where we're going to stand a lot earlier than we were last year, so it isn't going to carry on into February and March like it did last year with changes. We're going to have a pretty good idea of where it's at. And that that'll determine what we're going to use with reserves that are on hand at the jail, and whether the intelligent thing is to spread that out over 4 or 5 years so that we know what that budget's going to be for the next 5 years. And we aren't doing this 1 year at a time. I'm on till January 1?
Through December 31st, as it stands currently.
Right. And I was asked to be preliminarily on that committee again. And I held off till the next meeting to say whether I would, because obviously my term ends right in the middle of that. Now, whether the board wishes me to, that's an at-large position right now, our position is.
Well, it's a permanent position. We have two permanent positions, a member and the sheriff.
Right, so it doesn't have to be a supervisor.
Can be a staff member or a civilian or a supervisor.
Or a former supervisor.
Whether the board
has
stay on
financial acumen
until at least that budget's over, because my feeling is I dealt with last year's budget with the same county administrators that are probably going to be on hand this year and the same personalities, or whether you wanted to make a change in December probably December 1st.
The 1st December meeting would be helpful. Either you, if you recommend you either continue through budget season or make the change now.
I'd be willing to go on through the budget. And then my, whether I'm here or not, I'm going to be here through that. But if I foresee I'm going to be here longer, you know, I could stay on. But if I'm not, I'd be, you know, I'd at least get through the budget season. And we'd have some continuity in my thing. You know, we saved about $800,000 last year from our end, right in that ballpark. And we're in the same position this year. And I just think if you bring someone new into this, yeah, and unless it was, and it's not going to be the county administrator. So,
well, why don't we put that on the agenda for the next meeting then? And make it definitive.
That will be 2 days before the jail board meeting, which is great. I just want to.
So you are willing to stay?
Yes, yeah. Okay. And I have no hard feelings if you want to kick me to the curb either. So, you know.
Have they opened the new section?
No, November, the end of November.
They have an opening?
The construction will be complete. I've done two walks, and I'll be doing another walk in November 6th.
You haven't gone putting
a few minor details set up, but they're almost ready to turn on lights.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Can the board put him on for the next meeting?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
agenda for November 4th.
That's fine. Mr.
Ryan? I had the pleasure of being a guest speaker at an economic development forum for the FLDP class, so glad to see them all here. They ask great questions and are keenly interested in the future. Well, that would be for them to decide. I always think I have great answers. That's a matter of personal opinion. I am a legend in my own mind, after all. But no, they asked great questions, and I was flattered to be able to participate, and I'm glad to see them going through the program. It's a great asset to our county, and I look forward to seeing all of you participate in county events and politics and boards.
Right. Very good. Can you believe I didn't go to any meeting?
All right. What did you do?
Canceled them.
Oh, so
I did go to CHIP this afternoon to meet with the CHIP, the new director.
Was it free lunch?
No. No, and I coughed the whole time, and he kind of like put me out.
But yes. Mr. Nasker is coming to my office in week after next to come meet too.
Oh, okay. The new executive director. Yeah, I actually worked with him before, so right. But it's nice to know he's moved to CHIP. That's good. All right, now we would like to open our first public comments. And if you would like to speak to the board, you come to the mic, give your name and address, and you have 5 minutes to talk to the board. I'm opening the public comments.
Hey, you probably know who I am, most of you guys sitting up there. I'm John Gooch, 362 Oliver Creek Road, Troy. I came kind of to hear about the water issue because as you know, I've been very involved in that. I'm very strongly in favor of getting water to Zions Crossroads because that's one of the designated growth areas for the county. I want to urge the board to be decisive. We've been looking at this situation for a long time. And it's a turning point for our county. We need to make a decision to, in my opinion, get water to the Zions Crossroads. We had an opportunity some years ago to be in the driver's seat. Now we're not necessarily in the driver's seat, I don't think. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but we need to make sure we're at least in the car. I mean, we really do. We've been struggling with economic development for a long time, and without pipes in the ground, it's not going to happen. That's really the way I feel about it. I wanted to get up and I've been over there. I know what it's like. I'm not saying run roughshod over people. There are constituents out there that need the proper concern and care, but we still need to do what's best for the county overall. And so I urge you to do what needs to be done, sounds like in December, and to keep this situation, the project, moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak to the board?
Good evening, John Carrier. I'm at 23 Overlook Circle, Palmyra District. And I would like to go ahead and echo Mr. Gooch's statements regarding the water pipeline. My daughter has played over three seasons in Flavanna County for the travel soccer team. And when she joined, we lost the first game 11-1 in the first half. The second half, the kids just kicked the ball around and didn't let our team engage. Over the course of the next few seasons, our team would show up. The children from the other counties, whether it be Charlottesville or Goochlands, Green, Nelson, or many others, would look and say, hey, that's Flavanna County. This is a piece of cake. The win is for us, and we're going to take it. Flavanna means nothing. Let's just go ahead and play. We're going to beat them. And every day after the game, after they lost, I had to take the ride home with my daughter in the car saying, but Dad, can't we just be better? Why can't we improve? Why can't we win a game? And it took coaching. It took a lot of dedication from the children to finally win a game this past weekend against Charlottesville, who is an arch enemy of Flavanna County soccer. I tell you this to say I've lived in this county for 11 years now, and I followed a number of the issues that the Board of Supervisors have taken an interest in. And 30 years ago, I learned of the town that I grew up in, which was a small rural community in New Hampshire with a volunteer fire department, limited resources, and next to no economic growth. The majority of the income for the town that we lived came from the residents. Very similar to Flavanna County, having moved here now over 11 years ago, it's reliving a lot of the struggles that I saw and lived growing up in a small community. And what I see is an opportunity to open the doors for economic growth, to allow businesses to see that we're making an investment to bring them. A business may not necessarily come to Flavanna just because we build a water pipeline. We have to bring them in. We have to recruit these businesses, these organizations and companies to make the investment back into Flavanna County. Because one day I would like to say that I live in Flavanna County, they did the right thing, and we're a strong power in our state.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak to the board? If not, I will close the first. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I will open it.
Thank you. At Townsend, 541 Goldsboro Lane, I guess I'll be the environmentalist of the group and let you know that economic growth is wonderful. My family has a farm adjacent to the land where this whole water project is proposed. As I sat in a deer stand last night, I listened to a bunch of heavy equipment tearing up hundreds of acres of trees. Tonight, when I left to come here, I looked at a fire off in the distance, and my whole property is covered in smoke. I think that's partially why I'm coughing. on burning all this timber where they're destroying what was an absolutely gorgeous view on a high bluff that many folks that have been in this county longer than I've been alive say is one of the prettiest bluffs in all of Fluvanna County that overlooked James River. We came here because my dad had a quest for our family to have a place to go enjoy nature. That's what we do. We lease our property out to a family that's in the family farms. They come out and respectfully take care of the land in a manner that far superior to other outfits that have farmed in this county and have farmed on our property. That's why a lot of people like to live in the country. I've spent 15 years in the volunteer fire service in three different counties throughout this state. I know a little bit about rural water supply. You know, if we want to make the argument that we need water for that, you have a far greater issue than taking care of the needs of putting this pipeline there and getting some water to one specific area. Rural water supply and fires are always a challenge. It's always been a challenge for Goochland. It'll always be a challenge for anybody that doesn't have hydrants all throughout an area and lives in a major city. If you want a great soccer team, if you want a great economic boom, there's other places to go. But there's people that still like to come enjoy God's gorgeous beauty that was created and we see destroyed every year. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's Goochland, Fluvanna, wherever. Goochland spent how many millions of dollars on a water project, putting pipelines throughout a county that did what to that county? And what business has come to West Creek? How many years did the county look stupid doing that? Many years. So I think we can look to the surrounding communities and learn some lessons and possibly do things better to impact the county and make y'all look like you're making wise decisions. Yes, you have numbers you have to hit. Yes, we have to grow as a county, but I don't know that this is exactly the best place. There's a lot of historical reference and value to that area, dating back to the Revolutionary War. There's Indian burial grounds in that land and area that they're talking about proposing all this. And the last thing is, I don't know the exact particulars of this, but I would like to know if anybody has done any studies of how this is going to impact the water and springs that I have on our property. We're on a high bluff. Water flows down. It's pretty obvious. We have several houses and dwellings and farm buildings that are all spring-fed. Is that going to dry up due to this being put in at a lower point, not far at all from our springs? Are my ponds going to dry up because they don't have springs that they're currently feeding them, which, by the way, is the only source of water to fight fire? If any of my dwellings catch on fire, which one did in the late 90s, they actually had to drain the whole entire pond to put the fire out, back to the rural water supply. So, yes, you have a tough job, but that's what you're sitting where you are for. But I would like to at least speak on behalf of all the woodland creatures that don't have a voice, that you don't forget about them, and we don't just go leveling trees and tearing down everything and make gorgeous country change forever. So one day that I can take my kids to my farm and actually hunt and fish and enjoy God's beauty, and it's not a total different landscape than when my family actually wanted to buy the farm. Thank you all. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak to the board? Okay, then I will close the first public comment.
Madam Chair, I would just comment that for any citizens that come up, especially when they have questions or they've got concerns about various things, county staff is always available to come to anybody's home, property, evening meetings, weekends, Saturdays, Sundays. We'll meet any time to answer questions. And not everyone will like necessarily the answers, but we can at least give facts and provide answers to every question that we can. So we're always available for that.
I think that's good because, you know, there are some concerns and there are some answers and there's some
information. Thank you for going out Saturday morning and meeting with the neighbors on Tail Ridge and on the subject of the road approvals.
They're really moving fast.
Yeah. But Mr. Nichols took us Saturday morning and went out there and spent some time with those folks. So that's a good example of
absolutely
answering people's questions.
Yes. So he's always doing that.
Yes. Thank you. Now we have, we do have one public hearing, which is ZMP 1502. Mr. Steve L. Peters, and this Mr. Tugwell is going to give us.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is a rezoning request tonight, ZMP 1502. It's a request from Mr. Peters to rezone approximately 21.5 acres of his 62-acre parcel from A1 to B1. It is about 62 acres, but only about a third of that is requested for rezoning. It's within the Ravenna community planning area. This is a county map, and the area up for request for rezoning is where the red arrow is in the northwestern part of the county, intersection of 618 and 53. This is a current rezoning or a current zoning map. The subject parcel is delineated in black lines, and then the portion of the parcel that is requested for rezoning is in red. Aerial photograph. This is the applicant's site rendering. He submitted the application back in April. It hasn't changed any. It shows that they're proposing a roundabout at the at that intersection. A few photographs from the board. This is the intersection of currently the intersection of 53 and 618, where the proposed roundabout would be located. Site looking west. This is looking east along 618 back towards the main gate of Lake Monticello. This is to Charles Way. And of course, subject property is over here, the wooded property over here on the right. And looking south along 53 back towards Palmyra, and then Effort Baptist Church will be here for your reference. So back at the meeting on September 23rd, the Planning Commission did recommend approval of this request 5-0. Rezoning is successful, any site development would require approval of the site plan. Comprehensive plan does consider this area as conducive to further development in one of our designated growth areas, being the Ravenna District. In conclusion, it does appear to meet the intention of our comprehensive plan. Applicant Mr. Shump is here tonight. He has stated previously they're working on an analysis for the impacts of the of getting in and out of the site. They've proffered to build no more than 20,000 square feet of square footage until or unless the roundabout is constructed. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
The 20,000 square feet, what's that? Is that a 20% of the...
That's a number that they have proffered to stop construction at for the 21.5 acres.
Yeah. Like, so part of
yes.
So how many homes is that? It's all commercial.
Actually, it's all commercial. It's, they're requesting rezoning to B1, so it would be...
So, so right-of-way, proposing providing some right-of-way to build that the roundabout that you want. What is your number one priority for the HB2 VDOT?
Because VDOT had stated that there was some hold up cash wise.
Not on this one.
That was the 50. That's this one.
Well, it hasn't been fully approved yet. You just submitted it as your number one priority about a month ago, and that got submitted through the area into VDOT, and so we'll get hearings back on. They think it's pretty likely that it's a quick project compared to other ones.
Right.
So
2016.
You want to go over the 10%
16
match?
That's
sort of.
I guess that's what I'm saying. We were looking at a couple of years on that roundabout.
Okay.
Yes. My only concern is that is, well, you know, we've gotten inundated with complaints from citizens on that intersection and going south on.
So you want it to happen.
Well, you know that, and you do too, probably.
That's why we made it number one.
I understand that, but this project, even that 20%, how much is that impact going to be on existing issues already?
And as far as traffic goes?
Yeah.
It's a question. I don't have an answer.
This is not a destination. I would suggest that the type of businesses that are going to be there are going to be businesses that are serving existing traffic, that this is not likely to be the type of businesses where people are going to drive in from Charlottesville
to come to.
So you're really not going to change the traffic flow substantially from that standpoint.
So the roundabout only approved.
Right. The roundabout should do a couple of things. One, it should help with the flow of traffic. Two, hopefully it'll encourage and result in people slowing down. And of course, that intersection and slowing down from there down to Turkey Sag and all of those areas is critical for safety purposes. And we've seen far too many accidents and deaths there.
What would VDOT say about traffic?
Yeah. I would defer any recent developments from VDOT, from Mr. Shump, but it's my understanding VDOT is in full support of a traffic circle at this location.
Without the traffic circle, what do they say about traffic?
Right. I don't believe we have anything. I'd refer that to Mr. Shump. I'm not sure if we have anything new.
But if I know, it's a lot more dangerous without that.
Certainly.
A lot more. And it listed all the accidents that we've had here also. So it demonstrates pretty well that we need something there. And I think this is one of the best layouts and all for a roundabout. The owner is proffering land. And also, it looked like we had two options. It says the second funding option for roundabout construction is through the House Bill 2HB2, which I find interesting. It says six criteria. Do you know how those criteria came out with safety, congestion, accessibility, environmental, economic development, land? Do you know what kind of score we got on that?
I don't think our HB2 one has been scored. We just submitted it.
Okay. Well, that's what I was wondering.
And that's
what
that
was based on.
But VDOT had already met with us in advance and recommended it be our higher priority project because they thought it could be built pretty quickly and it doesn't require matching funds. But and they're pretty confident that it will meet the criteria based on the traffic flow, the hazardous driving there, and the mild traffic. But I don't think it's been formally scored through the HB2 process yet. That's what was submitted to happen.
One of the problems that VDOT had without the land being proffered is that there was not an ideal place to build a circle in that intersection. So the fact that the land is being proffered is actually very helpful in facilitating a traffic circle being put in there.
And it would potentially save the county some money there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think it's a tremendous project here. Personally,
as far as this item goes, what you're saying is it's not going to increase traffic to the extent.
That's my personal opinion. I mean, I don't know that any particular traffic studies were submitted, but I know that when this particular matter came up in the Planning Commission, that there was, I think, general consensus from the commission members saying, yes, that makes sense, that this is not going to be the type of area where you're going to see new traffic coming in, but you're actually going to see people coming in and from work, you know, going into the business and buying things and leaving and so on. And I think the awareness that there is an area of congestion there, even though the traffic circle helps to facilitate the congestion, should again help to reduce speeds in that area as well too.
And you'll be able to alleviate the traffic because you can go out on both 618.
If the traffic circle isn't built, then they're going to have to build, turning lanes that are pretty sizable, and that was a matter of discussion with the Planning Commission as well. And the planning commission worked hard to extend, to work with the developer to ask them to extend the period, the window period in which the land would be proffered.
6 years.
Yeah, which 6 years before it started. Once it started, then it's proffered.
Yeah.
So it just means that it encouraged the county and BDOT to make it happen sooner than later.
Right. 6 years.
Exactly. Did we get comments from Effort and Baptist Church representatives?
No, sir.
Okay.
Any other questions? Mr. Delvo, do you have any questions for the developer? Okay, we have a motion. I'm now going to open the public hearing. Anyone would like to make a comment about this project? 1502. Come to the mic. Give your name, address. Anyone? All right, now we will close the public comments and the vote is available.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve ZMP 15:02 of the attached ordinance of ZMP 15:02, a request to amend the Fluvanna County zoning map with respect to approximately 21.5 acres of Tax Map 8, Section A, Parcel 814A, to rezone the same from A1 Agricultural General to B1 Business General Conditional.
Second.
All right, moved by Mr. Bryant, second by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Now we go into action matters. G, fiscal year 15 loan to the Park Union Sanitary District. Mr. Eric Dahl.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the motion you have before you is for a loan for the Fork Union Sanitary District for FY15. Let me just go through some of the slides here first. So as you remember, the board, through direction of county staff and going through numerous meetings, the rates were raised for the sanitary district. They went into effect September of 2014 during FY15. Let me see here. Right there. So the new rates went into effect at that point in September and obviously have been in effect to this point. From 14 to 15, FY14 to FY15, the billing increase has been roughly $50,000 in increases. And so you see right there, you know, the billing was down a little bit, but since the increase has gone into effect, you know, it's been pretty favorable going in, obviously going in the correct direction to make FUSDA a little more self-sustaining. And even looking at FY16 as well here, the 3 months that we have, I mean, if you even just look at September of 15 to September of FY16, we're up about $3,000 there. And if you take it on a per month average, we went from 22,000 before to roughly, you know, 26,000 now. And then if you take an average of the 3 months of this fiscal year, we're at roughly $500 more a month in billing. So we're on the right trend. Like I said, I know Mr. Stevens definitely had a phased-in approach to FUSD's rates and things to make FUSD self-sustainable. The next slide just kind of shows the history of cash flows from FUSD going back to fiscal year 11 to current for fiscal year 15, where as of right now, it's like I said, end of year cash flow is going to be about $9,000 short. And I can definitely say after looking at the budget, it's primarily attributed to repairs like equipment repairs for the system, and then some I don't want to say overtime, but personnel costs also, which would have to do with spending extra time for those repairs. Just a brief look back at the FUSD loans from the county. $40,000 was approved in fiscal year 10, and that was to be paid back by the end of fiscal year 2011. That was, it was not paid back at that time. $30,000 was approved in fiscal year 13. Last fiscal year, $39,000 was approved from the county for a loan. And again, we are needing to bring FUSD whole for cash flow at the end of this fiscal year, roughly $9,000, which would bring the total amount owed to the county at $118,000.
So they haven't paid back anything since 2010?
Correct.
It's built in. It's built into the rate structure that Mr. Stevens put together, but it's through those first few years.
I mean,
the first few years showed a negative flow.
It was built into the fiscal year 15 budget for $40,000, but I think that was kind of a rough number put in there. That and so the $40,000 was not paid back in fiscal year 15. For fiscal year 16, $17,500 roughly was budgeted for payback in there, and I think that was based upon a more precise payback period that Mr. Stevens did, looking at FUSD rates and some of his phase-in approach to maybe future rates.
In, am I wrong, 2010 they had a rate increase?
I'm not sure.
No.
I don't believe so.
It was in 1998.
I know we haven't just had one.
No, there's one recent here within the last couple
years. We just did that last year.
Yes, I know that. But I'm talking when the loan was $40,000 in 2010, there was no increase. Just loaned them.
Historically, there had been long periods of time that there were no increases. That's where it really got down. And, you know, it amazes me. This has been going on for 25 years, literally. Been going on for 25 years. And now we want another $9,000.
But not borrowed money. FUSD has borrowed money for 25 years?
This deficit has been going back and forth for 25 years. That's what I'm saying.
But the only thing I remember, FUSD borrowing the $40,000, the third, and asking for this year. I don't remember in
We have had problems with FUSD for 25 years with finance.
And then we did the rate increase in this year.
And now they're going to owe us $118,000. And I'm going to make a suggestion that maybe within the next 3 months, if the staff could come up with some solution or approval, maybe from the Union Sanitary District, how we can get this debt paid off and get money in some manner. They do get the revenues from that tower over there also, which I haven't said anything about that, and that's fine, but that's extra revenue also that had never been over there before. So,
but if the money is not coming in, and you know the system is old, so they have a lot of...
With how many years old?
The 60s? The other thing is, those employees over there, I think it's maybe four, they have saved this county so much money. By the skills that they have, they go in there, they work 24 hours, I've seen them in mud up to here. They do it. And one time I asked Mr. Stevens, I said, that one that you all did with Fork Union, you went up under and you did all of that fancy stuff that if you had brought somebody in, it would have cost us $30,000. We had the same conversation about FUSD. We are not just coming to the county and asking because we need the county to support this project. When we will get on our feet, I don't know, but we will in the future. And everybody's doing everything that they can do. And we don't have the customers. The Fork Union Academy is probably in the nursing home. Probably the largest one. But do you think FUSD want to come and ask for money? No, they don't. But they have to pay their bills and do what they have to do.
If I recall correctly.
Huh?
Excuse me. If I recall, the board decided not to go with the higher proposed rates in order to raise revenues because that was a recommendation of the FUSD panel. So, I mean, I'm just saying that we had an opportunity to raise more revenues, and we agreed that the lower rate for right now
And to follow the FUSD panel was the best course at that point in time.
And that was supposed to have a built-in surplus for emergencies, too, because they were going to need extra money along the way.
If I recall, it was very modest as far as
I can remember. I think for the current fiscal year, for 16, it was definitely analyzed in greater detail by Mr. Stevens. So 16, you come on. Yeah, as Mr. Stevens said, it still showed them kind of being in the red for the first 2 years. So, I mean.
Yeah, and I'm pretty proud of the fact that we only asked for nine.
Well, but you didn't take advantage of it. You didn't take advantage of the special taxing district, which is the only leverage
other option we had.
And you can't raise rates triple in 1 year, so you took an incremental step, a pretty high rate increase, but you didn't do the special taxing district. But the rate chart that Mr. Stevens showed you showed red for the first 2 years or 2.5 years of that,
and then
gradually catching on as the money builds up.
If we were asking for another FUSD panel, to figure out how to raise rates, I think that would be bad form.
What would you suggest?
Well, I'm just, if we were already presented with the fact that there were going to be some deficit years, but that the projection was that those deficit years would then be caught up in future years, that we, at the very least, wait a year, year and a half.
You think they're going to catch up under the circumstances now that this 118?
I have to go back and look at.
How about on your next agenda? We'll just put a brief presentation on that rehashes the rate structure that Mr. Stevens put together, so you'll be refreshed on the numbers, and then you can give us direction on which way you want.
Yeah, but the reality, the reality is, it is not going to change to the way that maybe Mr. Weaver would like to see it change. But I think that in the future we will be able to do better, but it's going to take time, and that's the reality. It's going to take time.
Well, that's what bothers me, that is the reality.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is. People are brought into bathroom, these are our citizens, and unfortunately, that's kind of like a little stepchild over here that just struggling right now. But we have to have confidence that this is just 9,000 this time. So I just don't see anything else we can do.
There's not a lot we can do to argue about this, because we had the opportunity in September of 2014 to set the rate at a higher rate. And we were told that at the time that usage was going to be down. And that was,
said the first year of the usage, you should probably see a little dip at the end of that.
It's like $4 gas. Mm-hmm. For a while people stop going on trips, and then it's accepted, and you move on.
We had a lot of breaks.
I know Fort Union Military Academy took a step back and did some.
Sure, they're the big users, and they really put in extra money because of the volume they had.
But
let's look at it again or do something rather than
continue to look at it.
Within the next 3 months,
we'll do a brush up at your next meeting, and then we'll give you periodic reports on the revenue numbers as they come in.
So most likely,
and maybe we need to just stay in contact a little bit oftener so that we can just see.
Mrs. Booker's right that there's a lot of free work that's gone into this.
A lot of work. Oh, my goodness. And those guys.
And really, we can't blame anyone but ourselves sitting here that we didn't sit. If we expected a break even, it's on us, because we could have set a special tax district.
But this was going to correct it, though, remember.
Well, it was, but to be fair,
3 years.
Yeah, to be fair, this is 1 year, and exactly a year.
Well, we'll say that.
Yeah, and when you even look at it, how in the world can we think that FUSD can pay $40,000 back to the county in a year?
Well, how did we figure that in 2010?
We should.
Mr. Stevens?
But that's the law. The law said we supposed to back a year. But anyway.
With your numbers that you put together, are we somewhere in the ballpark?
We're in the ballpark. We showed them continuing to be in the red. Now, and we did have a couple of extraordinary issues last year with having to
replace drop pipes in two wells and then having a well pump fail within a month of replacing the drop pipe, which means pulling everything back out and putting a new well pump in. Now, we just recently installed after a lightning strike, so we got some of this covered by insurance from the lightning strike, but we went ahead and put a variable frequency drive on the well pump motor at the Morris well because the power, the three-phase power there is very, very unbalanced, and there's almost no pump on earth that's more adversely affected by unbalanced three-phase power than a vertical turbine well pump. So this variable frequency drive cleans up the three-phase power, so you get balanced three-phase power within 5% of on amperage. It's been working extremely well, and you end up with the added benefit of being able to actually fluctuate the well pumping rate without having to use valves. Now, I expect that barring additional lightning strikes, we're going to have a whole lot fewer well pumps burning up in the Morris well. I think we've replaced the pump in that well at least three times since I started working here in July of 2012. And in my experience, a three-phase well pump, a deep well pump like that should last at least 7 to 10 years without any problem at all. It should just sit down there humming away. So I knew we had some issues going on, and we began looking into it. And it's just a matter of having some, well, what I call dirty power at the two sites for Omahundra and Morris. The next step is to put a VFD, variable frequency drive, on the Omahundra well as well. That one has not been as bad. So we did Morris first. Each of those is about $5,000. So we had a little bit of a $5,000 additional expense that I wasn't expecting in addition to one full well pump replacement, which was about $15,000 that was unexpected. So if you're we're looking really at about $20,000 of unexpected expenses last year. You deduct that from the nine, we would have basically been $11,000 in the green and would have been able to pay back some of the previous loans. The bottom line is anytime it shows a positive balance at the end of a year, that money is going to go straight back into offset what the county has lent in the past. And that would be before we begin buying any new stuff, doing some of the replacements that need to be done. The dip in water usage that I predicted, which usually happens on a rate increase, actually ran for a little bit shorter period of time than it often does. And as Eric just showed you, in 2016, we're already above 2015 numbers, which had the rate increase. And I think things are looking up. But what we can do is we'll put, for the first year of that model, I'll go ahead and we'll put the real numbers in because we have them now. And we'll let it predict what's going to happen in the second and third years, and we'll have a better idea of what's going on. But without the unexpected expenses that we had, because you know we budget for a certain number of disasters, and when you have a couple of extra disasters that you didn't budget for, that's when things start to go awry. And if we had not had the drop pipe issue and then the one extra well pump replacement, I think we would have probably been paying back about $11,000 to $12,000 this year instead of needing another nine. Okay. And that's even with showing it having been in the red the first year in the model. Right. So it's actually doing a little bit better than was originally predicted.
Do you remember what the initial red prediction was?
It seems I think it showed it being 10 or 15,000 in the red.
Pretty much where we thought we were going to end up. So I appreciate the work you've done. Remember when we did that?
When we did the model, I did it just before the rate increase, so it would have been summer of 2014 or whatever I was working on.
You can take time and put that together and just bring that back.
Well, we'll get it. Well, I can update it and bring it back. I mean, it's always good to have a refresher because it's hard to remember all that stuff. I know that.
I remember you did say this.
And I think we also talked about the possibility that after 2 or 3 years at this new rate, we might need to have another modest bump. You know. 3 to 5% every couple of years is actually relatively normal for a water or sewer rate increase because electricity gets more expensive and labor gets more expensive and things just get more expensive. So you're leaving your rates the same for 10 years and then having a drastic increase is not a good idea. So we may need to, towards the end of this fiscal year, actually begin considering whether we want to do another 2 or 3% bump in the rates.
Thank you so much. All right. Any other questions? Anyone? Do we have a motion?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve all from Fluvanna County General Fund to Fork Union Sanitary District for $9,000 effective 6/32/2015.
Second.
All right, it's moved by Mr. Ullenbrook and seconded by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? I vote aye.
On this next one, I would strongly urge you not to read the motion.
We're just debating who is going to read.
Oh, my goodness.
Let you read that.
Essentially, though, what you're getting on this one is the county code generally gets affected by state code changes over the years. And so what the county attorney's office has done is gone and put together a number of changes to the state, to our county code, based on clerical updates, mandatory substantive updates, and discretionary substantive updates, based on changes from state code, so it's applied and put appropriately in ours. So you have to acknowledge that these changes are there, and then advertise. Or you have to agree to advertise for a public hearing, and then that would come before a public hearing for consideration, comment from the community, and then you could adopt the new code changes. Right. So there's quite a bit there, but they're broken out into those three categories in the package. But I just hope that no one wants to read that.
Yeah. I move the Board of Supervisors authorize staff to advertise a public hearing on November 18, 2015, entitled An Ordinance to Amend and Reenact Chapter 1 and carry on through everything that is included in this motion. Therefore, amending and reenacting the Fluvanna County Code to conform to the current enabling legislation as amended.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Ullenbrook and second by Ms. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye.
I was ready to read those numbers, too.
If you think this is a lot of work, this is only the beginning, because you'll notice there's nothing in there about Title 9, about Chapter 19, and nothing in there about Chapter 22.
Oh, okay.
As long as you don't say Title 9.
Planning Commission gets to initiate the subdivision and zoning provisions.
I don't know, it was so difficult. I'd added all the numbers together, and it was 183.4.
There's no doubt in my mind you did.
Okay.
Fluvanna Partnership.
Appointments for the Fluvanna Partnership of Aging.
Yes, ma'am. You've got two appointments tonight with two different candidates for these. One for the at-large position. Uh-huh. That's Linda Burnick, who's requested that position. And then you've got one follow-on here for the Fork Union District. But this one's for the at-large position.
You ready for a motion?
Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, I move to appoint Linda Burnick to the Fluvanna County Partnership for Aging Committee at large position with a term to begin immediately and to terminate December the 31st, 2019.
All second.
Right. All right. We have a motion by Mr. Weaver, second by Mr. Ullenbrook. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Next appointment is the Fluvanna County Partnership for Aging for Fork Union.
And Fork Union is the candidate is Deborah Talley for that position.
I move to appoint Deborah Talley to the Fluvanna County Partnership on the Aging Fork Union District, replacing Dorothy Payne, who resigned, with the term to begin immediately and terminate December 31st, 2016.
Okay. Second.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Ellenbrook, second by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. We do not have any presentations. Our consent agenda. Okay. DEQ Stormwater Program Opt-Out Support Resolution. L. Fiscal Year 16 Schools DSUP Budget Supplemental Appropriation. M. AP Report September 2015. MC Fiscal Year 15 Fiscal Year 16 Carryover Request. N. Invitation for Bid Fluvanna County Community Center Roof Replacement. O, RFP, Benefits Consulting and Third-Party Administrative Services. P, Capital Reserve Maintenance Fund Request for evacuation chairs at the school for our children who are in wheelchairs. Anyone would like to pull anything from the consent?
Just, I had a question on NN.
Which one?
N.
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 And it may not even work.
relation to that.
No, I had that one to look at too.
Yeah. Back about 6 months ago, the new thrift store had an extreme flooding event. You remember
America?
That? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I actually went in there that next day, and it was, all the hard work that went into tile and the paint and all the work was, the tile was actually lifted up off the floor. It was too bad. Has that been corrected to never happen again?
Corrected so it would never happen again?
A long time.
I would say probably not. Corrected so that there's very, very little chance of it happening again? Absolutely. We cleaned out the drain pipes. We now have duplex pumps in the pump station. It's a basement.
Turned into a river.
It's a basement, and there's a well at the bottom where the steps are that has drains in it.
Right.
Those drain pipes were plugged up.
Right.
And on top of that, and this is something that's been going on since the school was built, apparently, that some of the roof drains were actually draining down into that well. We're rerouting the stormwater away from those, and we had installed some time ago a dugout and put in a pump, a little sump pump.
I saw that, yeah.
There's now two of those in there instead of just one.
So
basically, if the first pump, sump pump fails, theoretically, the second one.
So it's a 99.9.
Yeah, it's very unlikely it's going to be
released.
The most important part was to get the actual grate drains that were in the concrete along the walkway there at the base of that, about the steps cleared out, and they're now draining properly, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Thanks for working on that.
All right, so does anyone have a question about the one at the community center?
Yes, sure. I was wondering, just to follow through, I'm sort of curious. I'd like to see the bids and how we came out with and what we did come out with.
We have, Mr. Reeves, this is to advertise for.
We haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
We haven't advertised for it yet.
This is to ask you to let us put out an invitation to get bids for the contract.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah, we'll certainly give you that information.
The issue with that is that we had some money in, I think, well, I can't remember, either a CIP or a capital reserve maintenance request to do this roof. Now,
it
as
was in the CIP for 62,000.
It was in the CIP. As we began investigating it, there are parapets on the roof of the community center, the former Fork Union School. Mm-hmm. They're deteriorating very, very badly. I mean, some to the point where, they don't want to alarm anybody, but if we let it go, you're going to have a problem with the concrete slabs that go across the top of the parapets slipping and falling either onto the roof or off the front of the building. Now, when those are up on the roof, when you're doing a new roof, and you have that kind of a problem, it's best to go ahead and fix both problems at the same time. So it is going to cost more than the $62,000 that were budgeted just to do a new membrane roof on the building, because these parapets also need to be repaired. And so we want to go out to a full invitation for bid on this, given the cost that's going to be. And then, yeah, we will certainly, Mr. Weaver, we can meet with you when we get the bids, and I'll show them to you, and we can talk about it. But
how that works out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But this request is just to let you know we want to go out to bid and to get the stamp of approval to do that.
And when Mr. Stevens gives you statistics, remember that 76.2% of all statistics are made up on the spot.
Unless they come from me. Well, I just wanted to ask a question here on the RFP benefits consulting and third-party administrative service. I was just wondering why that was under the consent agenda. It says no fiscal impact.
We're just going out for requests.
This is the same thing, Mr. Weaver. Just like we're getting permission to get to put this advertisement out for a request for proposal. We haven't received anything yet. Like I said, we want to advertise.
So we're getting your permission to go out and seek proposals because we do it about every 3 or 4 years on benefits.
Yeah,
you have to ask the county attorney's office on that one.
Why would that not be routine, that particular thing? I mean, isn't it pretty routine that you do that?
We have to
go every 3 to 5 years? Yes. We go and seek new ones every 3 to 5 years, but every 3 to 5 years it goes on your agenda.
Okay.
Because it requires board concurrence for us to go out on a major request for proposal.
I think we can put the 10 minutes
in. Any other questions?
Or we just pull the bills, as you might very well know.
And I would like to just mention one thing about K when you get done.
About what?
About K when you get done.
Okay. Okay, Gerald, you can. All right, the bills, Mr.
I was curious about number 28. That's certainly on page one. It was $10,000. What was that? Was that one of the lawyers?
That was the deductible. Deductible payment for
one of the legal cases.
One of the legal cases.
Okay, so that was then. Okay, and let's look at 85.
Which one said 85?
Yeah, let's see what I have.
That's the long distance tolls. That's the countywide.
That's countywide if you're looking at 85.
Okay. That's another one that's rolled up for everyone. There's a big list out by department.
That, when you look at that,
it rolls it up for the entire
department. Yeah, it really looks like a big figure there.
Then those are split out to departments on a cost accounting basis.
No, the wireless bills, they're broken down to departments.
They're rolled up here, but then the wireless bills come in separated. The Vita bills, the long distance tolls, come in as one lump sum, and we break it down out to by departments.
But the wireless, that's divided. I would imagine we have
it's divided by departments, whoever,
but,
you know.
But when we do the contract with Verizon, it's a lump.
It's one lump sum. We don't have multiple different, you know.
It's a lump sum.
It's one lump sum contract.
And then you break it down to
correct.
Got it.
Right. Is there any way to analyze this whole thing? As, you know, years ago we made a study on some of these things and looked at different services.
You did 2.5 years ago. That contract finished up, and there was some savings. Some lines were decreased and gone, but it was nominal.
It was minimal savings.
Yeah, there was, and we paid that project off. I think it was a $3,000 payoff to close that.
Cross Associates.
I wouldn't recommend doing it again for a while.
There was one even before that one.
Maybe
before
this is one that was ongoing when I got on board 4 years ago.
Okay, 208, CVRJ, cost of a prisoner's operation. I assume that's the quarterly.
Correct.
Payment.
Yes.
It says cost of prisoners.
No, it says operational cost, second quarter.
Yes. Okay. I think that's all I have.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion for
that? One quick note, if I can. This opt-out resolution, counties all across the Commonwealth, you can see on here, the counties marked in white are the ones that opted out of the stormwater, mostly the smaller counties and things. And almost, well, not all, but many of these counties have already had their boards adopt this resolution. All of us over the last 2 months have been putting it on our calendars, and so they're getting sent in, consolidated. So this is a resolution to tell the state that, hey, don't just dump this on us.
Right.
And, didn't we opt out a year ago?
Yes. A year and a half ago, right. Yes.
Right.
And so this is just reconfirming that commitment and to tell the state not to just change the rules in midstream. And all these other counties are doing the same resolution.
Are there more counties that have opted out this time over last year?
No. There wasn't a new opt-out series. This is what happened when everybody took the original stance. Mm-hmm. But now the state is making noises about potentially changing and making people changing the rules and making people opt in without the benefit of support for that, and we don't want to need another unfunded Band-Aid. So
we need a
Band-Aid. But they're looking at that again now, aren't they?
Right. They are, and that's why this resolution from all these counties needs to be very strongly worded, going back to the state, right, saying, hey guys, and so this will go to the governor's office and several other places.
Need a revolution.
That's right.
Okay. We have a motion.
Madam Chair, I move the consent agenda K through P, with the accounts payable and payroll be ratified for September 2015 in the amount of $3,573,116.91.
Second.
All right.
Been
a motion by Mr. Weaver, second by Mr. Oliver. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Any unfinished business? Any new business? Second, public comments. If you'd like to speak with the board, I mean to the board, would you come to the mic, give your name and address, and you have 5 minutes. Anyone?
Who wants to talk to that?
Okay, I will close the second public comment. Close.
We're going to close meeting.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A.1, Section 2.2-3711A.3, Section 2.2-3711A.6, Section 2.2-3711A.7 of the Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel, real estate, investment of funds, and legal matters.
All right, we have a second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Weaver, second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? We have a tie. Everyone here? Mr. Weaver?
Madam Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-A of the Code of Virginia, 1950 as amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in a motion of which a closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting, a second and a recorded vote needed.
Second. Motion by Mr. Weaver, second by Mr. Sheridan. Aye, Ms. Sheridan.
Aye.
Ms. Weaver.
Aye.
Aye. Chair, aye.
I move to extend the meeting.
To
midnight.
Midnight.
10 minutes from now.
Midnight. I'll second.
All right. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Moving second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion to adjourn,
ma'am.
The motion to adjourn.
So may.
I'm not voting for that.
What do we need to sign?